Man, I'm so excited to bring on our next guest. The voice of the Utah Jazz. A great man overall. He is the father of a culinary legend here in the community named DJ Bullerjack, a guy who is a mad scientist behind different types of foods at the store. He's also a multiple-time broadcaster of the year here in the state of Utah. He is my good friend and the legend, Craig Bullerjack. Buller, how are you?
Well, Hans, thanks. That was, kind, my friend. Thank you. Wow. Culinary genius. I raise a culinary genius in DJ. It's amazing stuff.
You've got so much to be proud of.
Oh, I am. Really, I got three great guys, man. I've been blessed. That's for doggone sure.
Well, I'm absolutely bummed because I've only got to meet DJ.
Oh, you got to meet Nick, and then Brody will. He'll wear you out. Brody will wear you out.
Now, Buller, I'm glad that you take a few minutes with us today and jump on and give us some thoughts going into this Oklahoma City game. First and foremost, I know Mike Conley is listed as questionable. Do you expect Mike Conley to be back before postseason starts?
Yeah, I do. I do. He spoke to the media today, and that's even a better sign. Again, the Jazz will let him warm up, my guess, and then they'll make a decision prior to tip-off tonight. But if he does play, those two games, I think, really are to his advantage and hands the Jazz because, you know, in my opinion, you know, you sit out nine, you've got to be able to kind of get your legs back and just your, you know, I know he doesn't lack confidence, but I think he just has to get back into that groove, you know, of understanding where he wants to be, where the guys will have to adjust. Because, look, they've been running the show with Joe and Royce and George Niang now. Without Donovan and Mike for nearly a month, and a month for Donovan, and Mike's been out 2+. So, yeah, if he goes tonight, it only helps the Jazz as they prepare for the postseason. We know that Donovan won't play in these final two games. Gives him another 5+ days when the season ends on Sunday to get ready for next weekend's first round, which, again, Hans, we don't have a clue how the West is going to turn out. Not only the Jazz, but Phoenix, you know, is a game back, incredible late surge and a couple of calls. I just kind of looked at the TV last night and go, wow. But it is what it is, man. It's the NBA, and we've got quite a run in both the East and the West.
I said this to start the show. The one thing that we learned in the NBA last night is that we still have more to learn.
You're spot on there. Just when you think you know it all, no, you don't.
Man, two games away from closing it out. One game for some, and we still aren't 100% sure what we're even going to see in the 7 and 8, what we could possibly see in the play-in. I mean, the Lakers could still bump down, and we could still see some movement there. So it is kind of bizarre to watch it. But as far as the Jazz getting Mike Conley back, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. So your two all-stars are out, your two volume shooters, your high-usage players. And one thought that I had, trying to get Mike Conley back, maybe tonight, but probably for sure by that Sacramento game, is I would like to work at least one in, not have both of them have to work back in that first playoff game, but at least get Mike Conley implemented back into the team and rotation so it's not as dramatic of a change to work them both back in. Do you disagree or agree with that?
No, I totally agree. If Mike can play these final two games, I think it does help Donovan's transition back because Mike's been there and will be able to handle the brunt of the ball handling until Donovan gets, you know, back into a groove. Look, you miss upwards to 15 ball games. That's a difficult thing. I mean, that's a fourth of the season or going on it. And so I guess it's about a fourth. So, you know, I think it's very important to get Mike back. And because, you know, he's a primary ball handler. Donovan, of course, touches it multiple times. So is it Joe Ingles. This team, you know, Jordan Clarkson, that's the beauty of the Jazz is because they constantly are in motion on the offensive end. And I only think it helps the Jazz, with Joe, and it helps Bojan, it helps Jordan Clarkson to get him back on the floor and let them kind of get back to the sense of norm where they were when they were making incredible runs through this league. Now, look, they're 50-20. How can you argue with plus 30 in the win column, right? But, you know, you get a little greedy this time of year where you want the one seed. You want to prove, you know, to the rest of the league that, yeah, we belong. And then, of course, the important first-round matchup. As Donovan said last year in the bubble, never again would we lose in round one after a 3-1 lead, obviously, against Denver. So, man, hands, I tell you, I wish I had a crystal ball. You know, I thought it'd be easier. But I think this is what the NBA wants. They want us talking. They want fans just on the edge of their seats every night here in the last week or two to see how this thing will turn out. You know, some agree with the plan, others don't. But as I look at it more and more, I think it's kept everybody very much engaged, and the games have much more meaning this time of year than they have in the past. I think we used to argue amongst ourselves about, well, you know, what are we going to do? You can't rest these guys, and some have already packed and totally checked out, and some are dropping games just so they can be in a better, you know, playoff position. But you throw a couple more teams in the mix who can actually play themselves into the postseason. I think it's really intriguing. I think it's here to stay. I really do. And from what I've seen so far, the league and the fan base seem to be pretty excited about it. Now, some of the players aren't. I think most of the fan base like it.
I think it's incredible. I'm sitting here scratching my head thinking, we have the potential to see LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers against Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors.
Crazy.
As a play-in opportunity to get to the postseason, which is, it'd be considered basically a non-playoff game. It would be the most incredible, most highly viewed, I'm sure, non-postseason game in NBA history.
Multiple champions, multiple MVP players, absolutely. And maybe one doesn't get in. What if, though? What if, after all the Jazz have been through trying to stay away from the Lakers, they actually draw L.A., LeBron, in round one, which is just like, oh, my goodness. But, look, you're going to have to play through some incredible teams if you're going to make the Western Conference finals and beyond. The difficulty is, if it does turn out that way, it's the first round matchup, and you're going to have to be on top of it. And, you know, I don't know at this point in time just the health of both Anthony Davis and LeBron and how durable they're going to be in postseason play, too. So, you know, there's a lot of questions, but it's fun to talk about, and I can't wait for it to get going next weekend. But, hey, two games left. And, look, as Quinn has always said, and I think Jazz fans know this, we've looked at games and kind of put a yawner on it, like, no worries, no hassles. No, I've been through this too many times where teams can only play seven, they dress eight, they play seven, and they've beaten the Jazz. Look, just go about your business, you know, stay focused and just get the job done, and the number one seed is yours. You can't really worry about Phoenix. You know, last night you were probably everybody was holding their breath down the last 2 minutes to see how that one was going to turn out. But, and really, you still have the ability to just take care of yourself, right? You get two games on the road, take care of it. First one's tonight, and then you go into Sacramento, who's playing pretty well the last 2-3 weeks. They've got sharp shooters, and they've got, you know, speedy guards. But still, if Mike's in the lineup, it just gives the Jazz other options, and it also loosens up the floor a little bit because Mike's a three-point threat, and he's obviously a great assist man as well.
I have a lot of people ask me, obviously the Utah Jazz are the hottest topic, and I'm sure you can't go anywhere without talking about the Jazz bowler, and I like it. By the way, I don't mind it, and I hope anybody knows out there that I'm 100% approachable. I had a guy stop me. I hesitate to admit this, but I was in Taco Bell grabbing a couple I like their tostadas, and had a guy grab me, wanted to talk Jazz basketball. And this is a common question. Are the Jazz built for postseason play? And Buller, my thought and my typical comment to somebody is, not without Donovan Mitchell. And so my take is, the most important thing right now for the Utah Jazz is to get Donovan Mitchell. They need the fourth quarter closer, you know, against Golden State or against Portland. The last two losses that the Jazz had, I don't think they lose if Donovan Mitchell's on the court and they've got a fourth quarter closer.
And hands to your point, I agree totally. I mean, look what he does. He's a driver. He's also gets to the free throw line now more than he ever has in his career. And also, he has to be respected with multiple, you know, double teams on occasion, which what? Opens up the floor. It helps Joe, who can catch and shoot instead of try to take a three off the dribble. And I think all those things come into play. Look, you put talent on the floor, it opens up so many venues for other players to improve their game. Donovan and Mike make the rest of the Jazz better because of what they draw in defensively and also what they can accomplish on the offensive end. So to answer your question, yeah, they're built for the postseason, but they have to be healthy like any team. And they've got to be able to take care of one thing I'm worried about, and this is the thing I keep looking at, is make sure that the lazy over-the-top passes, teams have scouted the Jazz very well. They know they throw the ball multiple times looking for the great open shot, but they also can anticipate that next pass in the passing lane. And once you get a turnover and you run downhill on the Jazz, it's difficult to stop. And also, you got to get some more offensive rebounds. Those missed threes, when they come in bunches like they have lately, you know, you get a defensive rebound by your opponent, and again, they're off and gone because you can't get back quickly enough on defense. So turnovers, TOs, all those, I think, are going to be important parts of how far the Jazz can go in the postseason.
Boy, the last thing I wanted to get into with you is Bojan Bogdanović and his productivity, specifically over the last maybe four or five games since Mike and Donovan have been out. He's really found his stride outside of that Portland game. He's really found his stride, you know, hitting a 48-point game, I think it was, a 32-point right. game. Can he have the same level of confidence and maybe even the same attempts? Because he's taken looks and he's had the confidence and he's knocked down shots. Can he do what we've seen him do with Mike Conley and Donovan on the court? And do you want him to do what he's done with them off the court?
I want to see him as a combo player, hands as a driver, and then to take his game outside. We were looking at numbers this morning on our Zoom call for pregame and our you know game prep, and he has stepped up in a big way. So has Jordan Clarkson. You look at numbers on the season, you know, he's about 16 points a game, but with Conley and Donovan out, he's up that over 11 points. So he's taken on a huge load, and it probably came at a great time because it was on him to pick up what was missing with Donovan and Mike. So what did he do? If you really go back and study his game after he, you know, made that I thought incredible comment in the locker room saying he's having the worst, you know, drought of his career, and all of a sudden he just went back to the simple way of playing, and that's using his body to go inside, get free throws, and he started scoring, gaining the confidence he needs, and hitting the three. Then he didn't start outside, he went inside, then took his game outside. We know what Clarkson can do. He's a high volume guy and he never picks up the dribble. I think Niang has actually improved his game probably during this process too. Hands he's a much more confident three-point shooter, and you know he spots up in the corner. You know he's taken a few runs to the rim as well. But you know, but getting back to your question, I think Bogey is a confident player again, despite you know the bad night he had against the Blazers. But I think what he understands now is he doesn't have to just stand out in threes all night long. Use his size and go inside, force defenders to foul him. If he can't finish, then at least he's at the free throw line. I think what Matt and Thurl always say, every NBA player I've run across, is if you're having struggles, free throw line can fix you, because what do? You see the ball go into the net. And once that happens, it kind of turns a switch on. Hopefully that's the case. And Bogey, who didn't play, remember, in the bubble, he may be the X factor in how this thing turns out.
All right, Bowler, I'm just going to set up a scenario. It's let's say it's a Saturday at noon, and you and I are in the car together, and I pull into the Alberto's drive-thru. The Alberto's just right off here off the corner. Good burritos over there. And you and I both order a California burrito, which has got, you know, little chunks of steak, and it's got French fried taters in there, and it's got some sour cream and some cheese and a little guac. And they're giving us the bag of these burritos, and I request a couple of packets of ketchup. And I hand you a packet of ketchup to put on your burrito. How do you address that? What do you say to me in that moment?
I would say, hey, Hans, ask him for some tomatillo.
Wow, you're way nicer than I am, Bowler.
Lloyd threw the ketchup back. He threw the ketchup packet, and it hit me right between my nose and eye. And he said, you can take that ketchup packet and you can, and I won't finish, but he said some terrible things of what I could do with that ketchup packet.
Wow.
I got him the burrito. I brought him the burrito. I said, hey, you might want some ketchup with that burrito. And he hit me in the eye with it.
Wow. Emotional.
Well, Bowler, I don't have a suntan, Bowler. There's more pigment to my skin.
You don't like ketchup, I guess. You know,
no,
I can do that,
but come on.
I like ketchup on fries.
Sure.
You know what? I'll make another admission. I like onions and only mustard on my hot dog.
Okay.
Well, that's not a terrible admission. That's pretty decent.
I see a lot of people just drench those things, man, in ketchup.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, I can't do that. But I'm a mustard guy. I don't know what that says.
But putting ketchup on a burrito, isn't that like the equivalent of putting ketchup on your steak, on your ribeye?
No, Lloyd, stop that. No,
it is.
It is not.
It's very similar.
I've seen people put ketchup on steak. Now, that'd be like for me putting ketchup on a PB&J. That just wouldn't work. You know, that wouldn't go. That would not go.
So you would not accept my ketchup packet to help you?
No, I wouldn't hit you in the eye, but I'd say, hands, look, let me reach over you here. I'd say, hey, how about the tomatillo? That's what I would do. If we're in the car, I'd be leaning out the driver's side and say, hey, tomatillo.
Okay, Bowler, if you weren't going to get in trouble for assaulting hands, would you assault him, though? You can assault him. If it was okay and you knew nothing was going to happen to you.
Oh, my, with a ketchup pack?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I mean, I don't know. You know, look, man, if everyone knows hands, he's built. He's pretty thick. I don't think the ketchup pack's going to do much harm to him. Maybe four or five, maybe.
That's why I put that thing right into his forehead.
So yeah. I went around the table to address the situation with Lloyd, and he said, touch me and I sue. So I'm like, all right, man, whatever.
Oh, touch me and I'll sue you. Okay. See all these people around me? I'll testify. Over a cat. Hey, what happened here, gentlemen? It all started with a ketchup.
Ketchup on a burrito.
Yeah, and a burrito. Yeah, that was great.
As Lloyd lays there unconscious. It all started. By the way, and Lloyd, I don't know if you'd agree with this, but like my 10 out of 10 weekend would include me and Bowler, a couple of burritos in a convertible, just headed up Little Cottonwood Canyon. Just talking, you know, shooting a breeze, eating a burrito.
Singing da-da-da.
Hitting a little tomatillo.
Da-da-da.
Da-da-da.
Oh, that brings back memories. 97, 98. Show me the title.
Is that the old commercial?
That's the old commercial, yep.
Da-da-da.
With you and Zippy?
It was Zundel, me, Alema, and Big Dog.
Yeah.
One car.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
That was, that's only been a couple years ago. That's not that
only
long.
A couple.
Just a couple.
Hey, by the way, I know it's a shameless plug, but I did talk to Big Dog, and we're going to have him on a new podcast next week, and he's going to be talking exactly what we're discussing right now, how that all happened, and how we picked Big Dog to be part of the Show Me the Title.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I can't wait for that. So hit that tease one more time, Bowler.
Well, it's Courtside Call, and it's on the Jazz Podcast Network, and it's going to debut. I believe the plan is, J.P. Tunga says, on the 20th. And he's kind of the guy that runs that. And I came in and had a great talk. I think next week we'll have up in the next week or two a great combo with Jeff Hornacek as well. Going to do that as well and talk about the finals and what it takes to be a champ.
Don't miss that, man. The Big Dog, nobody beats him. We've had him on a couple of times. Absolutely adore that man, and we'll be listening. Bowler, thank you so much, brother.
Yeah, man. Have a great day. Jazz at 6 o'clock, and let's get it done.
We won't miss it, and we will be listening. There you go. Craig Bowler-Jack, the voice of the Utah Jazz on the TV broadcast. Nobody better.